someone else's journey is our lesson.
We used to say, the difficult we do immediately, the impossible just takes a little more time.
Someone else's lesson is our gift.
I believe part of our responsibility is really to equip and inspire our students to ask those difficult questions.
Be encouraged by the stories that lift us all.
I came to Howard because I wanted to be the President of the United States.
Somebody saw something in me, and it's my duty to be that person for somebody else.
Now, join Dr. Wayne Frederick, President of Howard University, and his guest on The Journey.
When a student has a dream and a vision, Howard University is a place that can help make it happen. For nearly 150 years, the university has prepared young minds for the world and has urged the world to be ready for them. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on The Journey is Dante Bell, a junior who, like his fellow Bison, is poised to make an indelible mark. Welcome. So
Thank you.
Were born in Seattle. Tell me a little bit about what that was like.
All right. So I was born in Seattle. Really don't have too many bad memories of Seattle. So for whatever reason, when it's overcast outside and a little rainy, I actually get a little happy. I enjoy when the weather's like that. So I remember growing up there, I remember seeing a lot of family up there, still have a lot of cousins there. But we moved abruptly when I was about 9-10 years old. And we moved to Fargo, North Dakota, which was a different experience for my family and I. My father worked for Microsoft at the time in Seattle, and they had bought out a technology company in North Dakota. So we had moved out there, and what I remember most about North Dakota is how cold it was. It was so cold. I remember it was so cold where if you went outside, you know, in some places you go outside and it's like, oh, it's cold. Let me go back inside and grab a jacket. But North Dakota, it was like somebody threw a brick at your face. It was ridiculous. But there were some good experiences there. It was different because living in Seattle and living in North Dakota, they're very, very, well, they lack in diversity. There are very few people of color in both of those areas. And so for my family and I have a pretty large family as well. It was different trying to adjust to being such a minority, being a super minority, where in some cases, especially in North Dakota, we'd literally be the first black people that a lot of other white North Dakotans would ever meet. So it created the opportunity to form perceptions right off the bat.
How many siblings do you have?
Currently, I have 9 siblings.
And so where in the order are you?
I am the oldest. I've watched it all happen. So it's me and my 3 brothers and 5 sisters.
Okay.
But it's good. I feel like being the oldest of so many siblings has given me the opportunity to really learn how to lead, really learn how to serve people and think outside of yourself. I think in many ways it's helped me grow up quicker. But I definitely feel that as a good thing because it's helped me realize the value of people, and especially women. Having so many younger sisters with completely different personalities, wherever I go, it just shows me new appreciation for making sure that women's voices are heard, that I'm making sure that they have the same opportunities and other women have the same opportunities that I'm entitled to and I'm privileged to have as a man.
How old were you when you left North Dakota?
Let's see. I was just beginning high school. So I believe I was about 14, if I remember correctly, about 14 when we had left.
And where did you move to?
We moved to Bentonville, Arkansas.
Okay, that's very different from North Dakota.
Very different. My first Southern encounter. So to say the least, Arkansas was still very different. And the particular region of Arkansas that I lived in was certainly more diverse than North Dakota. But it was different because they were familiar with people of color, but they were familiar in the wrong way. Right. You had a lot of people who were very prejudiced against people that looked like me, and they'd be very open about it. And I almost appreciated that more, in a sense, than the microaggressions that you deal with on a daily basis in North Dakota, both out of ignorance and because certain people had certain perceptions of how people that looked like me acted and behaved. So in Arkansas, there were some blatant things that at least I could confront them when they came up. Right. So it was definitely a different experience that I'm glad to have experienced.
Okay. And you came to Howard from there. Why Howard University at that time?
Now, that's an interesting story. I never wanted to go to Howard initially. It wasn't even on my radar. My goal was Princeton University, University of Chicago, or staying in Arkansas because I was doing some work with one of the congressmen down there. But Howard was not on my radar. I had graduated a year early, and like I said, I applied to some of these more, what I considered to be more prestigious schools at the time. And I did not get in to Princeton, and I was waitlisted by the University of Chicago. So I didn't really know what else to do. It was almost February. It was early February at the time, and my mom told me, I'm sorry, late January, my mom told me, you have to apply to at least one HBCU. And so I said, well, okay.
And your mom attended an HBCU?
That's correct. Okay. My mom and dad attended Morehouse and Spelman.
Okay.
So she had a little bit of familiarity with it. So she said, you should apply. Go to Hampton. Go to Hampton. Hampton would be a great school. And I said, well, I don't even know where Hampton is. I looked it up. It was in Virginia. It was like I'd never been to Virginia. If I'm going to get stuck somewhere, let me at least get stuck somewhere relevant. Let me get stuck in Washington, D.C. because I'm interested in politics. So let me do that. Let me apply to Howard. This sounds interesting. And so I applied to Howard 2 weeks before the deadline. I'd gotten a scholarship offer before I received an acceptance letter. And at that point, I was where I was first frustrated with Howard. I'm like, how is Howard going to send me a scholarship offer before I get an acceptance letter? Not realizing it was really a blessing to have a scholarship in the first place. And so, you know, I kept putting it off, and I kept getting emails from Howard. And they're like, hey, you know, you have this scholarship. Maybe you should think about it. And so it wasn't until I came to Accepted Student Day in April and was able to check out the university for myself for the first time. And I will never forget those days that I walked up to Crampton Auditorium, and the moment I saw all those Bisonettes and cheerleaders welcoming me to Howard, I knew that was the place for me.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Dante Bell. He is a junior student here at Howard University. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. So you enrolled. Tell me a little bit about your choice of major. What is your interest?
Sure.
And also, you are a member of ROTC. So tell me about that as well.
Yes. Originally, when I came to Howard, I was a political science major. I'm very passionate about trying to make a difference. I feel like I'm very privileged, and I want to find a way to help people who aren't as privileged as me. And I thought political science was the way to do it. And I'm not saying that it's not. But for me, I have a more quantitative mind. I'm more of a numbers guy. So economics felt like the perfect balance between policy and numbers. So that was something that I pursued. I joined ROTC originally just because I always knew I wanted to serve. And it turned into something that I really enjoyed and I'm doing pretty well in right now. And it was one of the best decisions that I've ever made. I'm excited about serving. I don't really know how economics is going to line up with my military aspirations, but I know that economics for me is about, like I said, about bridging the gap, about helping those who can't really help themselves or want to help themselves but don't have the opportunity to do so. So I'm really passionate about hopefully one day doing more research about things like inequality, maybe even income inequality or inequalities that exist economically due to race and due to other people who are marginalized, other marginalized communities that exist. So I'm trying to figure out how can we make sure that this American dream that we always talk about in this nation is actually true. It's something that I'm defending right now in the Air Force should be something that every American and every person ultimately has the ability to achieve.
And why the Air Force specifically? What about the Air Force?
The Air Force. Two reasons. One, my mother would not let me go into the Marines or the Army. Thankfully, she was good for that. And two, I thought that the Air Force is the most technological military branch. And I wanted to be on the cutting edge. I love being on the cutting edge and knowing exactly what's going on. Blame it on my dad's roots in Seattle and at Microsoft. But I love technology. I love seeing new things. So the Air Force felt like it offered that to me, and so far it has.
Now, obviously, you took a gap year before you came to Howard University. And being from Arkansas, you interacted with a congressman that I have since met, Congressman Womack, who we had a fascinating conversation about Arkansas and about you. Tell me about your gap year and what that insight gave you into politics, seeing that that's part of what your long-term ambitions are.
Absolutely. So I had taken a gap year. I was homeschooled for 10 years prior. I graduated when I was 16. I had a lot of college credit. and I applied for an internship with Congressman Steve Womack. And they, the only reason they even looked at my application as a 16-year-old applying is because I had a lot of college credit. And so when I interviewed, they said, you know what, we'll give this kid a shot. And so I remember interning showed me so much. I mean, obviously, that firsthand experience is invaluable. But what it really showed me is, especially working in constituent services in the district, it really showed me how a congressional office can really help people at a more local, more comfortable, intimate level. And so, yeah, that was great. And it was interesting. I remember I was working during the government shutdown of 2013. I will never forget that, because while everyone else couldn't go into work as an intern, since I wasn't getting paid, I still went in. And the calls that we received, people saying, you know, we've been furloughed, can't pay the bills, please reopen the government. That really changed me. I'm like, you know, these are real people with real jobs, real lifestyles, who really need the government, need leaders in these positions of power to actually make a difference for them in their own lives. So at that point, that's kind of when I knew, you know, this is something I really want to do. I actually, after that, I was so kind of hurt by it at first that I actually tried to quit. I said, you know what, I can't do this. This is too much. You know, maybe this isn't cut out for me. And then Congressman Womack came back to me and he said, you know, would you like a full-time job? And that changed the game a little bit for me. So I worked full-time, and I was given a little more responsibility, and I started working cases, started helping constituents. I remember we had one constituent who was trying to get her son over to the United States. Can't remember exactly what the country was, but somewhere in South America. And I was able to work with the Department of State and United States Customs and Immigrant Services to figure out a way to make that happen. And once we were able to get it done, that was such a fulfilling experience, because this is someone's actual life that we're making a difference in by using the right avenues of government to do so. Absolutely. And that's part of the change that I want to be a part of.
What are you planning to do next summer between your junior and senior year? That's often a critical summer to set you up for after graduation. What are you planning to do next summer?
Oh my gosh, too many options. I have way too many options. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, should I dip into my Air Force stuff? Should I dip into my research? Should I intern again? I think what I want to do is something that does have to do with my research ultimately. I think I want to do some sort of undergraduate research program. But I'm not sure. I'm applying to everything, and then hopefully I'll make my decision later.
What type of research topics are you interested in currently?
Right now, I'm really interested in income inequality and the implications of race inside of that. So I'll actually be traveling with the Young Africana Leadership Initiative to South Africa in December. And then I'm also trying to, if everything works out with the paperwork, hopefully in this spring I'll be studying abroad in Brazil. But we'll see what happens, and we'll see what happens this summer as well. So just kind of taking it one step at a time.
Right. Now, obviously, Howard has impacted you significantly.
Yes.
And as you look back, and it wasn't even on your radar to today, what has Howard University meant to you?
Howard University. You know, I always tell people there are a lot of things that sometimes we'll talk about here in the Howard community that we might get frustrated with, because Howard is not perfect. But one thing that struck me about Howard is that everywhere I went in D.C., whether it was here, whether it was back home, whether it was visiting family, even in Texas and in Seattle and what have you, people would always say, oh, you go to Howard. I know this person who goes to Howard. I went to Howard. Here's my card. Here's my information. If you need anything, let me know. If I can help you, let me know. And that showed me that Howard University is like family, and you don't always like everything about your family, but you always love them, and they always love you. And this was clearly the best decision that I could have ever made, especially someone who understands the value of family myself.
Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Mr. Dante Bell. He's a junior at Howard University, economics major, and a member of the Air Force ROTC. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne Frederick on the Howard University Radio Network.